I'm so glad that you're able to join us today. I hope you enjoy my message, Power to Serve, from the text, Genesis 37. You know, about 14 years ago, I found myself in the office of the, I think it's called the Commissioner General of Children and Family Services in Western Australia. And I was sitting in this office. It was sort of like, you know, you go into reception, but then you get taken to the head of the department's office, and they have their own little sitting room lounge. And it was glass partition walls, and I could see the lady, the Commissioner General, sitting behind the glass. And I was there as a special guest in Children and Family Services. Children and Family Services in Western Australia at that time had over 2,500 kids in their direct care, wards of the state, as they called them. Horrible name, but it just is what it is. And I was sitting in there because I'd been asked to go and speak to the executive staff of this organisation. At that stage, I was only in my early 30s and really didn't have a clue about an environment like that and what to say. But yet, as I sat in that room, there was a sense of destiny. There was a sense of, this is what I'm purposed to do. This is a part of what I do. And many of you know the story today, and more the opportunity to speak to, you know, different officials at different levels of government throughout the world and different things. But this was like the starting point. And there was a moment where I felt what I call happy scared. I don't know if you've ever done it. You step out in faith, woohoo. And I was in that place of feeling like I'm excited, but I'm also scared because these are people that most of them had their PhDs and doctorates in this particular area. And really, I had no understanding at a high level of this type of thing. I was there to receive an MOU for our church at that time, a memorandum of understanding between the state government of Western Australia and our church back then. And they'd asked me to speak, and then I went on to speak every about 6 months to the executive staff to motivate and inspire them in a difficult circumstance dealing with kids that had been displaced for whatever reason. But I had this thought as I sat there, and I thought to myself, how did I arrive here? Don't know if you've ever had that thought, ever been in a situation. And without the power of God in my circumstance, there's no way I would have been able to cope and do what I did in that setting. Today I want to talk to you from the thought of the power to serve. You see, many of us are so consumed with a dream. The problem with a dream, and I've preached on dreams, and I believe in the dream, and I believe we've all got something that God has purposed for each one of us individually, collectively. But if we're not careful, we can get so caught up on the end goal that we miss how did we get there, and we look back and we don't remember where it all began. Because it didn't begin in that office. It was so much further back in my life that it began, that God started to do something. So today I want to have a look at the life of somebody that we think of as a dreamer, Joseph. You can turn with me or you can look to the screen in Genesis 37. And in this passage of scripture, we're going to read about this young man's life. But today, there's many people I'm aware in this room that are believing God for a dream but don't yet have one. Get frustrated when we talk about it because they say, it's okay for you, you've got a dream, but I don't have one. Does that mean God doesn't think about me anymore? No, no. God has a dream for each and every one of us, but we got to stop being so consumed with what it is and just do as He says, and we'll end up there anyway. Today I want to talk to you about maybe the steps to position yourself so that you can see the fulfillment of what God has purposed for each one of you. Here in this passage in Genesis 37 verse 1, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah. That's probably not how you say it, but it sounds good to me. His father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report. In other words, Joseph went and told on his brothers. They're not really doing a good job. They're not looking after the stock well. Dad, you should be concerned. Who knows? Who can't handle little brothers like that? I just want to tell you that I am a little brother. I'm the youngest in my family. We are the special ones. Anybody else the youngest in their family? Yes. Anybody the oldest in your family? Sorry. But then it even gets worse, and this is where the older ones hate it. Now, Israel loved Joseph, or Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Oh, you can feel the pain of the favored child. I hate that child. No, there's nobody thinking like that here today. Because he had been born to him in his old age, an indiscriminate reason. We've got to stop looking at circumstance, say, why them, not me? Today, we've just got to believe we've got a God who is a just God, who's got a plan, a purpose, a dream for each and every one of us. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word of him. I just want you to understand, hated is not a well-used word in the Bible. So this is making a statement very strongly that they despised him. But then the great thing about younger brothers' immaturity is that you really don't have a clue. And you don't think about the consequence of thing. And in the very next verse, look what happens. Joseph has a dream. It's okay to have a dream. But if it's about you and your brothers, it's probably not best to tell them. But look what he does. And when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheath rose up and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers were very happy. No, that's not what it says. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. The Bible doesn't say that he said, yes, I do intend to rule over you. But there was something in his smile, his countenance, his arrogance. Well, boys, what God said. Because they said they hated him even more. And if that isn't enough, then he had another dream. And he told his brothers, listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, the fathers rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I, the sun and the moon, the mother and the father, the 11 stars, the brother, actually come and bow down to the ground before you? See, when we read a passage of scripture like this, thanks, my friend. When we read a passage of scripture like this, we can get caught in a model that is very much a secular model. A hedonistic worldview, a way of seeing things that actually, and we collectively sometimes process this way. It's what I would call a success way of thinking. We are consumed with success. The status that we have, the title on our job description, the type of car we drive, the neighborhood we live in, the people we associate with. And if we're not careful, we, even in the church, can actually subscribe to our life's value is surmised by those things. But I want you to understand, if you live life long enough, you're going to have people love you one day, and the very next day, the same group of people will hate you. So does that mean that therefore your purpose changes on the basis of how people see you? Why is it that we spend so much of our time worrying about what everybody else thinks and forget that there's a Father in heaven who created us, and if we live according to his pattern, we will bring fulfillment to our lives? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in your neighbor and he'll love you today, but when you throw something over the fence tomorrow, he'll hate you. We need to be people that understand that there is power in understanding that all we need is not the end product. We don't need the dream fulfilled. We don't need, oh, that's what I'm going to be. We just need to be obedient to a God who is faithful and is never going to let us down. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, we need to be people that walk according to his pattern. So did I arrive at that office because I was great? Did I arrive at that office of the Commissioner General of Children and Family Services because I preached really well the Sunday before and they saw me and they went, wow, we want that guy? No. It didn't start there. And some of us need to go back to the start of how things happen, because we live a pattern that is the book that says, I've arrived, I made $10 million, I got this, I got that. And suddenly we paint a dream that is a success dream, and success isn't attainable in the context of what God's purpose is for our lives. We shouldn't define success by how much money we have, what car we have, how big it is. Because I want to tell you, some of the most successful people I know are people who committed to being the best parent they could. And now I look at their kids and look at what they're doing, and it would have never been if that parent hadn't been faithful to their call. But there aren't a lot of great books out there that say the best parent in the world, that are selling the best-selling novel that's going. And because we value things that are fleeting. But I want you to understand that God has a purpose. He has a dream that is way beyond where you might be sitting right now. But the interesting thing is that the process of our life is attaining what God has purposed for us, putting death to our dream so His dream can come alive. I was sitting in having a cup of coffee with a friend about 5 years before that meeting, where I was sitting in the Commissioner General's office. And I was sitting having a cup of coffee, and he introduced me to a lady that I hadn't met before. Her name was Marinae. And we got talking, and we said, you know, he introduced me as a pastor. He introduced her as involved in children's and family services. I didn't even really know what that was until she began to tell me. I said to her at the end of the conversation, if in any way our church can serve you, let me know. And I could see her look at me like, what does that even mean? Because service is not actually a mentality of the secular society. Work is. What I do for you, you do for me, a transaction. But I want to tell you, service isn't about what I get in return. It actually gives me all I require if I just do it with an open heart. So she said to me, okay. About 2 months later, I get a phone call, and she rings me. She says, Pastor Neil, this is going to sound a really strange request, but about 8 to 10 of our kids don't have computers, and they're at school and they're in their last 2 years of high school, really critical years. We're telling you about kids that are in care that are doing very well, but they don't have the resources, the foster carers don't, we as the government don't, and all they need is a computer. Do you think there's anything your church could do to help with computers? Well, the interesting thing was, and I don't think it was a coincidence, I think it was intentional, because if you understand God's got a purpose for your life, then nothing is just by chance. When you go, oh, how did that happen? We were just talking about that yesterday. Learn to read how the Holy Spirit works. Learn to understand He's going before you. He's setting things up. I said, well, it's interesting you call. We got a call from IBM yesterday. And it was literally a random call to the church. And IBM said, we've got all these refurbished computers that we will give guarantees on for the next 2 years. But we've got an over surplus of them. So we were wondering whether your church could use them. And I'd said to the staff, awesome, because we were only a young church at that time. And I was like, great. And I think they're giving us 15 computers. I said, great, let's put them throughout the office. As soon as she made that statement to me, I went, the computers, they weren't given for us. They were given for these kids. And over the next week or two, we took these into the kids' lives. We went, we set them up, we put software on them and helped towards what they were going to do in school for the next 2 years. Out of that came a call from Mariner. It's amazing how when people realize, wow, somebody wants to do something and there's no expectation, they start coming at you. People are saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Just serve and watch what happens. Just do it with an open heart and watch what doors open. You don't have to go and sell yourself. Trust me, it'll open for you. So she rings and she says, Pastor Neil, we're drastically short on foster carers. Do you think some people in your church would be interested in caring, you know, having some kids come into their home short term, even one night respite care? And I said, I don't know, but let's see. I got off the phone and I felt like God said to me, a child can't choose. A child who has no choice what family they're in is a tough path ahead. Maybe this is an opportunity. We run youth groups, we run all sorts of things to reach kids. Here's an open door to help kids see their lives changed. So we had an interest meeting. Can't remember exactly, but about 20 people were very interested. And some of them are to this day are still foster caring for kids and stuff happening. Out of that came an idea. It's so tough for foster carers. They're looking after these kids and they get kids dropped in the middle of the night and babies and, you know, 7-year-olds and different things. And we should do something to celebrate foster carers. So we set up a dinner, a Christmas dinner for foster carers. And there was hundreds of foster carers. And then we also had hundreds of kids that we had a Christmas party for. And we had Santa Claus come. In fact, I was Santa Claus. I came in a convertible vehicle. I was standing. Now I think about it, I think I got the Santa Claus gig because I was the biggest guy on staff, which probably not a good thing. But anyway, I got a big round head, you know, moon head, so it works for Santa. And not this year, anyway, just so you know. I'm not on this year. I can just see all the pastoral stuff. There's our Santa Claus right there. They ask me every year. It's a deep pain of mine. I just, you know. So then I'm in this. There's kids getting these huge gifts. There's foster carers. We got all these special overnight accommodation with all these hotels around town that they won for door prizes and stuff. And it was so good. It cost us thousands of dollars. There were people in the kitchens who were fulfilling their service. There were people out looking after kids fulfilling their service. There were people who brought in vehicles, and there were community organizations that gave us all sorts of stuff to be able to give. And it all really seeded out of a conversation. But with the power to serve. We're so looking for our opportunity. It's there right in front of you. It culminated about a month before I had that meeting in the Children and Family Services office when we booked out a cinema, had 350 kids come, over 300 of those kids. Some of them as old as 10, 11 years of age had never been in a cinema in their life, couldn't afford to go. We booked it out, we put on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It was a launch premiere. And that we gave out bags of chocolate and stuff that Cadbury's and other people sponsored and gave us. But inside three bags were golden tickets. Three kids won PlayStations and all sorts of stuff. Cost us over $30,000, but it was all paid for. One thing I've learned about serving, if you're doing what God has purposed you to do, it's His plan, it's also His bill. He always pays the bill. Always. But when it's about me, the hedonistic, I want my dream, I want, sometimes it's a lot harder. But if you just stay on His page, watch what'll happen. So it didn't start in that office. And I tell you, it wasn't easy all along the way. Most of it was about what God was taking off me so that when I had the opportunity, I was ready for my moment. It didn't corrupt me. Some of us are wondering why we go through hardship. Some of us are wondering why things are difficult. But in those difficult times, we're fashioned to be who God has purposed us to be. And primarily, we're not on earth for what do I get, but we're on earth for what can I do for you, Lord? And the manifestation of that is how can I serve? Oh, many people go to work and they become employees. I urge you today to be someone who goes to serve. Oh, you might get paid for some of it. You might do some of it voluntarily. But if you have a servant spirit, things will open up for you. Pursue the dream. Pursue what God has for you, then have the ability to serve. Have the ability to step into what God has. Look at the life of Joseph again. And Joseph, it says, he served. Where does it start? He served the livestock with his brothers. That's how we first find out about Joseph. That's when we see him and we realize that he actually started as a servant. Then, of course, he needs some rough edges knocked off him. He's a little arrogant as a boy that you guys are going to bow down to me, even including his parents. And maybe he needed a bit of the process so he was ready for when the dream became a reality. But I want to tell you that the interesting thing about it is he went from serving in his father's house to then his brothers hating him so much that they tried to kill him. They put him in a hole or a cistern, hidden. And they were going to kill him, but one of his brothers felt guilty about that, so he had a rescue plan. Another one saw some slave traders coming and thought, why don't we make some money? So sold him for 20 pieces of silver. So now he's gone from the freedom of his father's house, being the special and the favored one. Can you see how when you're pursuing what God's call is for your life, sometimes it's great, but then suddenly he's in a hole. He's hated by his brothers, doesn't know where he is, and now he becomes a slave. He's a slave in Potiphar's house. But what does he do at every point when he is restricted? He serves. The Bible said he served in Potiphar's house to the point where Potiphar trusted him so much he made him over the whole house. It was going good for him. He'd gone from his father, awesome times, dad loves me, now Potiphar loves me. He's a powerful, influential man in the town. Maybe I'm living my dream already. And then Potiphar's wife thinks he's quite good looking. That's pretty much what the Bible says. And she wants to sleep with him. So she lures him into her room and he says, I can't. And he runs out of the room. She grabs a piece of clothing, tells her husband that he's come in and tried to rape her. And suddenly he gets thrown into prison. He's gone from being the favored one to now being locked in a pit to suddenly serving in a wealthy man's house to now being in prison. Can you see how he kept going from restriction to restriction to restriction? Or did he go from glory to glory to glory? Was he being elevated all along the way because it was part of God's plan? Some of you sit here today and you say, I don't have a dream. We're going to deal with that in the context of you don't need to get the whole picture. All you need to get is the next step. Some of you in this place are consumed with what's not happening and how you've been restricted and how you've been held back and nobody seems to know what's happening. But if you change your view and you see it from God's perspective, maybe he's positioning you so that you're ready for the triumphant day that he's got ahead. He ends up in a prison. He's a slave in prison. His brothers now, if they knew, they could be like, well, look at him. Dad, look what happened to him. Look how he turned out. Can I remind you that sometimes it's stuff that happens to us is fleeting. We're so concerned with our reputation, what can take place. But remember, we serve a Redeemer. We serve the ultimate servant, the one that would come to this world to give his life so that each one of us could be redeemed and live in freedom. He's already set the pattern for us of service. He's in prison. He interprets the dream of a butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. It's not quite right, but it sounds good. And one of them, years later, he says, make sure you tell somebody that I'm an interpreter of a dream. Years later, he remembers, oh, so this process of leaving his family to getting to where he's now serving in the Pharaoh's house, 12 years or so, maybe more. We so often read things and go, oh, that happened overnight. No, this didn't happen overnight. Then there were 7 years of good times. So now we've got up to nearly 20 years. Then there were 7 years of bad times before he sees his brothers again. So it means that he hadn't seen his brothers for upward of 30 years. How do we know that that's true? Because his brothers didn't even recognize who he was when they first saw him. Church, I want you to understand that the fulfillment of the plan for each of our lives doesn't just happen overnight. But I want you to also understand that God is a faithful God and we don't have to live a life of trial. But if we do what his purpose does to do, we keep stepping into new areas of opportunity. But it comes through the power of serving. See, there's a formula and it goes like this: restriction or restraint, prison, hole in the ground, hate by his family, things that held him. But then he added the power to serve. Every time he added the power to serve, it was like he was thrust out of that circumstance and released into the next phase God had for him. So rather than sitting with the bitterness, the jealousy, the resentment of what was, we need to be people that say, God, I know that the restraint, the things you put around me aren't there to hurt me, but they're actually to propel me forward. All I need to do is look for a place to serve. In your family, are you a taker or are you a server? In your workplace, are you an employee or are you a servant? In the church, oh, but it's just so busy and, you know, this is a big church and so big church has lots of money and there's lots you can do. I want to tell you, I sit at the top end of that and I understand for all that we do, we don't have enough money to pay 500 people. So what do? We engage people in service, but we do it because of money? No. We do it because we know it has supernatural power. You want to see supernatural increase? Then be a servant. I today am standing before you and I'm not an employee of Planet Shakers. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And if I can understand that and I live that out, then I want to tell you there's a power that is released in my life and those around me. Because if you look at that picture on the screen, if I was Joseph at a young age and I'd been able to stand on that stage, I would have thought, how good am I? Hey, tell my brother, he thinks he's good. Look how good I am. Big stage, hundreds of thousands of people. With my preacher friends, oh, you know, well, one night over 50,000 made decisions for Christ. Oh. But I want to tell you, when I stood on that stage, that was not how I felt. It's not how I feel to this day. Other people are talking about those things, but I really am not. And I honestly stand before you because I stood in the Commissioner of Children and Family Services all those years ago and felt out of my depth. I stood on that stage and felt completely out of my depth. But I want to tell you, all I've been doing between is faithfully serving where God gives me an opportunity, having a heart to serve. If I come into contact with people, I don't think, what can I get out of these people? I think, how can I serve these people? And I want to tell you, when you understand the power of servanthood, it can change your circumstance. But today, some of you need to come untangled from, where's my dream? What have you got for me, God? Some of you need to come untangled from, don't you see that I'm just off to the side? I feel like I'm in a hole. I feel like I'm in prison. I feel like I'm captured and nobody's seeing who I am. To coming to a place of saying, Holy Spirit, again, I come to you. Here I am. Use me. Because the truth of that crowd of people that I stood before and served, still serving today, really doing the harder yards now with community hubs and some of the things that we're looking to do, it started when I was going through a season of, what's my purpose? Where am I supposed to fit? Where do I fit on the Planet Shakers team? What am I doing now? I used to be the business manager and run these things, and now I'm just sort of drifting. And is there a place for me? And then Russell and I are talking, and he says to me, Neil, freely we have received, freely we should give. In an international sense, we've had so much blessing and favor. But I feel God speaking to us that we should give back to nations around us. We're not going to take money from them. We're not going to try and raise money. Through them, we're going to bring in and we're going to say, freely we have received, so here we give. We serve these nations. So that's what I've done. Just like I did with Children and Family Services, just like I did when I was a youth pastor, and I used to go into schools and say to the headmaster, hey, is there anything we can do to serve the school? I ended up coaching soccer at that stage. I knew nothing about soccer, but that's what they needed in the school. And then schools open up, and before long we had hundreds of schools all around West Australia that were open for us. But it was a serving mentality. My workplace, when I was in the building industry, I just served my boss. In fact, one time he lost his license for drink driving. Well, you need to suffer the consequence of that. That's not how he thought. He thought, you are my servant. You're my slave, in fact. And he said to me, for the next 3 months, you've got to drive me everywhere. You've got to be on call whenever I call you. And he was true to his word, I want to tell you. There was night times. I was employed as a 40, but I was employed for 40 hours. But I wasn't an employee. I was a servant. But you know what happened? I went out to several high-level dinners, sat at these tables while these guys talked, high-level people in society, and I learnt a lot about how to interact with those sort of people. I could have never known that God was going to place me in some of those environments, but it was in that environment to serve that brought about the change. You might right now feel like you're restrained. 3 months, no license, not my problem, you were drink driving. Maybe God's setting you up. Maybe God's got a plan. Maybe God's going to use what seems right now the most insignificant thing. 4 years working in the building industry in carpentry, hated it. Remember one morning at 5 a.m. in the morning, hitting my hand with a hammer and the whole top of my finger popped off. Blood went everywhere. Freezing. God, this is not what I'm called to do. But now all my life is consumed with building buildings for churches all around the world. Because I understand what happens. I sit with them and do plans and auditoriums and different things and love it. But if we're not careful, we can be in a spot and forget that God has an ultimate plan. He has a dream for your life. The power to serve. God, in this room right now, those watching online right now, I pray they would understand that you have a unique purpose for each and every one of them. But God, it wouldn't get lost in, what about me? What do I get? How does it work for me? But we would be people that understand that maybe we need to recalibrate today. Maybe we need to get back to the place of the simplicity of, do I take from my family or do I serve my family? Do I draw a wage or do I contribute with my service to the company? Am I volunteering in a church capacity? Or am I saying, oh, well, someone else can do that, taking? Because today, I want to remind you that restraint plus servanthood equals release. The context of my Savior, it equals redemption. Because so often we're worried about what we're not getting. If we just serve, it's amazing how when we sow seed, it comes back to us, the very things that we never thought we'd have. It's not a plan, a scheme to get you serving more in the church. But I want to tell you, there's great blessing that comes from it. I think of all the people that put on the camps that we've had in the last 3 weeks. Well done to all our Planet Uni team, and all those Planet Boom team guys, and all, you know, all our children's workers. Hour after hour of working. But I was with my daughter last night, and she's one of our children's team members at our Northeast campus. Had a busy 3 weeks. But telling me story after story after story. Why? Because she's learned the power to serve and how it always gives back to you. I pray that there would be a release of people who are trapped in, I'm not seeing my dream fulfilled. Maybe you're here today and you're like Joseph, you might have done something that was not right in the early stages and it got somebody offside, and now you live with the pain of people not understanding who you are, what your dream is, what it is that God's placed in you. But you can spend your whole life trying to get that worked out, or you can just serve again and watch as God takes care of it on your behalf. It didn't start at the crowd. It didn't start in that office of a high-level person. It started with the simple words, how can we serve you? Started with the simple words, freely we have received, so freely we're going to give. And there's a supernatural power that's released within that. Some people in this room, I know, Holy Spirit has shown me, have been caught in what didn't happen, how the dream got taken away from them. Joseph could have easily thought that when he was in the pit. How you move forward and then something changed and people saw you in a certain light. Joseph could have easily thought, everybody thinks that I'm a rapist and I'm in prison. It's proven not to be true. After years of being forgotten in the prison, he could have thought, is this it, God? I nearly made it to the plan, purpose you had for me. But no, he kept serving faithfully, became the leader of the prison, became the leader of the house of Potiphar. He was the favoured one with his family. And in the end, it was all just preparation for becoming the leader of a nation. Whatever it is God's put in your heart, you need to say, God, I surrender that to you. Because some of you are so caught on what the dream looks like to you, but is that really what God said? Or is that what you've made it? Some of you are caught in jealousy of seeing somebody else with what they've got and you're missing out. Today, can we all just come back to the baseline of, God, here I am, use me. And allow Holy Spirit to show you what the opportunity He's got fashioned for you. The area that you can serve this week in your workplace, your home, your church. There to be a power that would be released in this place. The restraint plus a desire to serve would release people all over this room supernaturally in Jesus' name. If you know you need to be released, you feel like you're stuck, you feel like there's something not right, there's maybe an attitude, maybe you're caught at a place, you're so celebrating what you wanted and what you thought you're on the path to that you're missing the opportunity you have today. And you just feel a little trapped, maybe like you're in a hole, maybe like you're restrained in some way, maybe, you know, feeling like your reputation's in tatters. But can I pray for you today that we break that off your life? That's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose. That's maybe how you feel, but that's not how God feels about you. And so if that's you in any way, shape or form, that registers with you. I want you to lift both hands in the air. We know that that's a universal sign of surrender. As Pastor Russell often says, it's also the embrace of a father. Whichever it means to you today, I want you to lift your hands with that sense of, God, would you set me free? My family, my circumstance, my workplace, whatever it is that sidelined you. I want to tell you that we serve a God who is a God of redemption, a God who is one that redeems and lifts in Jesus' name. So right now, where there has been sadness, where there has been sorrow, where there has been regret, where there has been a sense of feeling like you're not moving forward, I pray right now that something be released over your life, that there would be a sense of hope and purpose and release right now. Enemy, where you've come to whisper into their mind and take away from what God always purposed for them, right now in the name of Jesus, we dare to believe that that's going to lift off their life. They're going to walk out of here free. In Jesus' name we pray. Now I want everybody to stand to your feet across this room. Here's what I want us to do. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to ask you, would you do this? Would you be open to Holy Spirit right now? It's just a few weeks ago, we collected rubbish around this area. It came because Pastor Russell was watching Instagram, and the mayor of our city here came up on Instagram and she said, why don't you take a bag with you while you walk the dog? Not for that stuff, they're little bags. I'm talking bigger bags. Why don't you take a bag and pick up rubbish just as you're walking around? There's so much rubbish in the area. He saw that and he thought, hey, we could do something as a church. So over 200 people just assembled here, and for about 4 hours went out, and 160 bags of rubbish, all sorts of stuff was picked up. And this lady wrote me a letter. The mayor of our town wrote me a letter saying, it's unbelievable what your people do, but not only did they do a good job, they did it with a great heart. She picked up on, it wasn't a job, it was service. Oh, church, the doors are going to open of opportunity if you understand that you go in with a servant heart. You don't need to worry about what your promotion will be, what your future will be. Just go in with a servant heart and watch what the Lord does. It's a supernatural thing. But some of you today need to go, God, what is it that I can do? Maybe in workplace tomorrow, maybe in the community. Don't wait for us to start a program. It's things that God's going to deposit in your heart. Go and do it, and then who knows what will happen. But I want to encourage you in this place right now. Would you just come back to that base point and say, God, speak to me. What can I do to serve? How can I lift in this area? How can I give more? How can I change my whole demeanor so it's not work? What do I get? Hedonistic worldview, but how can I give? How can I serve? What can I do? Well, I hope you enjoyed today. I'm so glad that you joined us. Why don't you check out planetshakers.com if you require anything else? Have a great day.